So it's a journey for your kid with you and with the dentist, and they need to know that they're their main character on this journey.
Main character. Love
Yeah, main character
it.
moment. So
Candy.
the dentist, exactly.
Hey guys, welcome back to The Bite Angle. I am your host here, Mary. And today we're joined by Dr. Erin to answer these kind
Hi.
Of questions that your kids might actually be asking. So,
or the parents.
Yes, these ones are the ones that pops up between bubble teas or just before bedtime brushing. So we're diving into snack attacks, a little bit of TikTok trends, and
okay.
yeah, all these kind of things. Are you
right.
ready?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Let's see what the kids are learning on TikTok.
So the first question is, what's the weirdest thing a kid ever asked you?
Well, kids say all kinds of funny things all the time. They really surprise you. Yeah. I think we've ever had a kid ask, well, if I straighten my teeth, does that make my brain straighter as well? Well, I think straighter.
What?
Yeah. You know, funny things like that. I've also had a kid, ask me, so what does the tooth fairy do with all the teeth that they collect? Do they make it into like a necklace or something? And I told her, I really don't know, but maybe the tooth fairy is as creative as you are. Yeah. Yeah. So that's one fun thing about seeing kids.
Okay.
All sorts of funny comments.
Yeah. That's surprising, but yeah, not surprising for our kids.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So number two question. Why do dentists say sugar is bad, but fruits have sugar too?
Well, I think one question that we always do get from parents is what's actually a good snack for kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And fruits are one recommendation that we do give. But that said, fruits have sugar too. It's comparatively to other things with sugar in it, how much sugar content fruit has. In comparison to other options like fruit juice, biscuits, vitamin gummies even, or say just your regular like Milo, chocolate milk, all of that, fruit is already a pretty good alternative to have because there is a lot of water content in it and the density of sugar is a lot less. So there are a lot of hidden sugars in all the snacks that we take. Basically anything that you can think of containing carbohydrates, they contain some form of sugar. Yeah, and I also find that fruits, they don't stick in the mouth so much. So if you give your child a low sugar snack, like a low sugar biscuit, well, the biscuit might still stick into the grooves of the teeth. Whereas if they're eating like grapes or an apple, you know, it's not so sticky. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't stick in the grooves of the
right.
teeth so much. Once they finish it, they're done. But that being said, the most important thing about sugar when it comes to what we feel as dentists is the frequency of how you're taking it. Yeah. So, I do often on a first visit ask parents, what their child's eating habits is like, you know, and we really want to run through the whole day. So we want to think like the moment the child wakes up, what they're putting into their mouth and all the way to bedtime. So that includes everything from maybe the first cup of milk they're having, to their breakfast, to are they having any little snacks, like sneaky snacks in between, breakfast and lunch and then lunch and dinner. You know, I think parents always try to make healthy choices for their children, but it's always good for us to just kind of point out where the hidden sugars are.
Right.
They, it's everywhere, like little vitamin gummies, or if say, the kids like fruits a lot, but they're snacking on grapes the whole day, you know, that's also not great.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's really about the frequency actually rather than the, maybe the content of the individual sweets.
Right.
Yeah. So I always tell parents like, all of us like sweets. It's kind of natural. We of course want to control the sweet tooth, but it really doesn't hurt to have a little bit of sugar and joy in your life once in a while.
It's life really, is about enjoying.
Exactly, you know, like who amongst us doesn't enjoy a little sweet treat?
With this question, I wanted to ask, usually if we eat sugary stuff, like even coffee or Milo, we should drink water afterwards. Does this apply to fruits or...
Yeah, I think it's a good habit in general, like just to, especially for kids, it's the best time to encourage them to have a certain habit. And if they associate like having anything in their mouth with having a little sip of water afterwards, that's a good habit that they will carry on into the rest of their lives. So I always say like, if they like something sweet, they like their chocolate milk or little snack after dinner, have it together with a main meal. So if they're having a flavored milk, have it with breakfast. And then after all of that is done, the milk is done, the food is done, have water, and at least the mouth is free of sugar afterwards. You know, it's a lot better to do that than to have milk, go do something, play around, watch TV, and then come back half an hour later, have more food. That's actually worse for the mouth. Because how it works, just to get a little bit more into the science of it, is that there is a certain pH, like acidity level in our mouth, and every time we put any kind of like carbohydrates into the mouth, the bacteria, the saliva in our mouth start to kind of work together, and it helps to break down the food in some ways. But once the pH level goes down below a certain point, it becomes more acidic. That's when the enamel on our teeth start to demineralize, so they start to break down. So if the pH level is kept constantly a little bit too low, then the enamel is going to get constantly attacked by, you know, these acids and the bacteria in the mouth. So that's why it's better to have a meal, get all of that done with, set everything back to neutral, drink water, keep the mouth sugar-free, and then that's actually okay.
Yeah, but some parents would be asking like, oh, my kids has never eaten like any sugary foods. Why does it still have decays? Like,
yeah, so when I get these kind of questions, I think it's a lot of times, well, it's really just about the hidden sugars and the small hidden habits that you're unaware of, you know. Sometimes you might not associate certain things with sugar content, but it does contain them. Like, say, yeah, if they're still taking, say they're having a pretty healthy diet, but they're still taking formula milk few times a day.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Yeah, the that's bad. Or like, you know, like they like fruits, but they're taking fruits five times a day. Every time they get a bit snacky, they want to get grapes or raisins, which is even worse than just fresh fruit. You know, it's healthy snacks, but it's bad for the teeth. Yeah, unfortunately,
it's true, the frequency of you taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. So, going on to the third question. This is actually for Gen Z Alpha question. Can you get cavities from just drinking bubble tea? Everyone loves bubble tea, even me.
Well, yeah, definitely. So generally, when it comes to drinks, I definitely try to recommend things on the lower sugar spectrum, because drinks, once they contain sugar, they tend to be kind of sticky. You know how your mouth feels after you take bubble tea? It coats the teeth. It stays there for long, especially if you're not drinking water afterwards. Right. And the problem with like having a bubble tea is that you're sipping on it for some time. You know, it's not like a chocolate where you eat it and then you're done
with it. Yeah, you're done with it.
1 minute.
Yeah.
Bubble tea, it's like you can be sipping it, and then, I don't know, you're using your iPad or whatever, and then you come back and you keep sipping it. So back to the question of, or the problem of frequency. Once you have a sweet drink, you probably are exposing your mouth to sugars for a longer period of time.
Okay, but with that milk tea, what does bubble tea makes it bad? The drink or the pearls? Like the content of it, which one?
I mean, the pearls are probably worst culprit, because they're sticky, they stay on your teeth. But milk tea itself, as long as the drink is containing sugar, I think it's not great for your teeth, you know? And also, you know how milk feels? Milk has a way of staying on your teeth more than if you're taking like a fruit tea. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially on the tongues and like,
Yeah, exactly.
You will have this feeling. Yeah, true. Okay, cool. Good to know. I'm a fan of milk tea. But now I try not to.
True. Slow sugar option.
Yeah. Okay. But it's actually nice to have the milk tea at its And it's not the sweetest, but you get to enjoy it. It just feel like every time I put 50%, I was like, meh. Like, I don't really get to enjoy it.
But then maybe that's how you can drink less. Because if you don't like it so much, then you won't drink it so often.
Trying my best. Okay. Number five question would be, can clear aligners like Invisalign be used for kids, or are braces still the go-to, the traditional braces?
Well, the science of aligning our teeth has progressed a lot over the past few decades, and I expect that it's probably going to evolve even more. So nowadays, clear aligners are increasingly popular option, and the technology around it is also improving. So I think we are seeing that it's more and more viable for kids to opt for clear aligners versus metal braces. I find that clear aligners tend to be more comfortable for children as well. And but the other consideration also is what exactly does the child need. So for kids compared to like adults like me and you, we might be considering other things like the growth of their jaws, like their upper jaw, which is the palate, and the lower jaw as well. So depending on what we need to achieve, like do we need to try and influence the growth of the bone and all that, it would affect the design of the appliance. So then this appliance can be a clear plastic appliance or a metal appliance. And which one is better depends on what the kid needs and yeah, what's the most suitable option. But that being said, I would say that if you have questions about either of those options, you should consult your dentist so that we can evaluate it for you, see what stage of growth your child is at. Probably need to take x-rays to see how the teeth are developing inside the jaw as well, and then we can decide. Yeah.
So just add on to that, we do offer here at Dental Designs the Invisalign Kids.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, it's true that you do a consultation first because different kids
need different things.
Yeah, exactly.
I often find that sometimes every parent is different. Every kid is different. There are some cases where parents get really stressed over the adult teeth growing out and looking like they're not perfectly straight. And sometimes that's actually not a problem because the kid's teeth are still changing. Yes. Versus other cases where we are the ones pointing out to the parents like, hey, do you see that this kid is at this age already, but there isn't that much space for the other teeth to grow out. Maybe we should do something. So it's really a two-way conversation, actually a three-way conversation, because we need to get the kid involved as well. Yeah. So, Invisalign Kids is a great option. If there is something that your kid or you think that they should consider, then see the dentist, see us, and then we can give you our professional opinion. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Number six question. Why do some kids have braces? Some have palatal expanders and some just wait. Like, what's the deal? Like, how do we know which is which?
Okay. So,
What is palatal expander first? What is that?
So, a palatal expander is an appliance that children can wear when they're still in a growth stage to try and expand the palate to basically give the teeth more space to grow within both. Because if there isn't enough space, real estate, in the mouth, then the teeth are gonna find that they're squishing their way out, and then they might have more chances of having crowding or even things like cross bites where the lower teeth overlap in the wrong sequence towards the upper. So that one is more of a growth and jaw related issue, whereas braces, as we think about it, whether it's like the clear Invisalign ones or the metal ones, are used more to push the teeth around. So oftentimes we see that there might be a need for both. So we might need to expand the palate first, give the teeth a chance to grow out of the bone. And then after teeth are all grown out, then we can use braces to get them nice and straight. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
But it's just that most of the questions of everyone, especially those that are outside of like dentistry, they've always questioned like, oh, my kid has had braces. I did when I was a kid. And then my teeth just went like haywire after quite, like, after a few years. Like, it just went back. It didn't went back, but it's not the same as after the braces. Do you get me? It suddenly just have the spaces again. Like, everyone thought, like, oh, I've paid for so much. And then suddenly, it's just went back to normal.
Are you thinking about, like, retainers? Is that what?
No, like, the like about? Most of the question, like, why does it happen? Why does it go back to its original state in a way?
Teeth are like us. They can be quite stubborn, you know. Actually, they have a natural tendency towards maybe where they came from. So that's why it is very important through the journey of realigning your teeth to be with a dentist, follow up with us regularly, and then afterwards also still come back for reviews and make sure that you're still staying on the ball with things like the retainers.
Yeah, I think that's what most parents should know about, that it's still about the checkups and everything that
exactly.
That makes it still the same. It's not like you, after braces, you would go Mia for like 2 years or 2 years.
I always do find it, you brought up a really good point. I always do find it a bit of a pity because sometimes I see, you know, adults come in and then they're like, oh yeah, I had braces done when I was a child, a teenager, like 7 years ago, but my teeth a bit crooked again. And then I ask also, have you been seeing a dentist? And sometimes they go, well, you know, life has been busy, or have you been wearing your retainers? And where they're like, oh, I lost it, you know, when I went on a diving trip or I went to NS and I lost it. And then the teeth have started to shift again. But I think one way that we can try and reduce the chances of that happening is to really make sure that our children have the right habits ingrained in them from a younger age.
Exactly.
And I think that it's always something that I try to put across, that your kid's dental journey is their journey. You're, as a parent, you're their guide, you know. Yes, their Yoda? Is that the character in Star Wars?
Yoda,
you know, the wise little alien.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're providing them with the tools and the knowledge and the habits that they can continue to maintain. So if a child is self-motivated during their braces journey, they feel that they're involved, they know what's happening, they want to do it, then they're more likely to, I feel, be better at maintaining the outcomes of the treatment instead of if they just go along with
the
journey.
Because
the
parents told them so.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Yeah. If it's a chore, then they might not feel so invested or committed into it.
Yeah, so I think I learned this after I worked here at Dental Designs, because here we do more of the Invisalign and everything. Yeah, so it's you should talk to your kids to see how it works. And you should really like be telling them what are the steps and are they keen to do it.
Exactly. Are they keen? That's the important question, I think. Yeah.
It's very cool. Okay, now on to the seventh question. What's the deal with Fisher Sealants? Are they like invisibility cloaks for cavities?
Okay, that's a great question. So Fisher Sealants is something that we do recommend quite routinely to children and teenagers that we see. So all of our molars, so the molars are our back teeth. So we have front teeth that look a bit, you know, kind of pointy and sharp, and then our back teeth look flatter. They look like little mountains and valleys. So some of us have deeper valleys in our teeth than others. It's just the shape of the teeth that grow out. There's nothing right or wrong about it. So the fissure sealants are like little rivers that basically flow into the valleys, essentially, you know, and make the valleys through the valleys.
I like how you. You made a story out of it. It's very cool.
Yeah. So it's a way to protect the valleys from having sugar stuck into them. You know, the food, the sugars, once they get lodged into the valleys, the grooves of the teeth, they can be super hard to remove on a daily basis, and over time that accumulates and it leads to decay. So a common source of decay in the molars, the back teeth, are actually decay in the grooves. So basically, fissure sealants are protective cloaks for the teeth. And the great thing about being able to see kids and catch it at an early age is that when we do it at an earlier age, the grooves are still really clean and new. When we do it, we protect them from any decay happening at all. And we also don't actually need to drill the teeth. We can just clean up the surface and put the sealants in, flow the rivers in.
Yeah, and it's less scary for kids to have all these drilling and everything.
Exactly, because they don't feel like the vibrations. Yes. They don't feel all the water, you know. It's actually pretty manageable for most kids, yeah.
So preventive is better than cure, okay?
Definitely, that's always the take-home message, yeah.
Okay, so how can I make it so my kid doesn't hate having braces? So we go back to braces. Okay. I feel like it's a generational trauma for all of us. Same. Like, I feel like going back to it, like, I had a lot of, like, you know, ulcers here and there. I can't eat all my favorite food. And yeah, it's just like, okay, no more braces for me. That's all. It's like everyone's trauma. Like, oh, you had braces? Yes, I had braces. Like this kind.
Yeah, and it's a bit sore every time you go, and then there's like,
yes,
like a lot of things in your mouth and things like that. Yeah. Well, I think there's a few steps to it. So just starting from the beginning, which is kind of what we just discussed a bit earlier, is motivation, right? So it's a journey for your kid with you and with the dentist, and they need to know that they are their main character on this journey.
Main character.
Yeah, main character moment. So the dentist, exactly. You know, make yourself the main character in your life. It's true.
Sparkle, sparkle.
Yeah, I guess if they feel that, hey, you know, they want to make their teeth beautiful, they want like a nice straight smile, then you're going to understand why they're coming to see the dentist and having these things put on their teeth and all of that. So that's important. So they understand. Yeah. If you're motivated with something, then you're more likely to accept it, right? Second thing I think is to really prepare your child for, like, mentally for the process. Because if they don't know what's going on, then I feel like through the journey, when something uncomfortable comes up, it's gonna be a bit of a rude surprise for them each time. You know, so I think explaining the process, which is what the dentist would do as well, is quite important. And I think that also, thirdly, the way we're doing it. Nowadays, we have more and more options of being able to offer Invisalign. In fact, well, most of the cases we do at our clinic are with Invisalign, and it can treat a big variety of cases, from the simple ones to actually the relatively complicated ones. So Invisalign is a lot more comfortable than the metal ones.
I feel the difference of like kids wearing the traditional braces.
Yeah.
And this, I think it's also more like, yeah, the parents' relationship nowadays, like, they know more now. They're educated now. Because I got, like, one patient that the parents told me, like, oh, I need to talk to it through my kid. And I was like, why? Like, me as a traditional, like, I've had braces before. I've got never talked to about it.
Yeah, your parents so are like...
Yeah, like, okay, you're having braces. Okay, I'm having braces. Like, this guy. And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's a good way. Like, good relationship as well. Like, for the kid, as what we've mentioned. Like, the kid has to know what he or she doing before she agrees to it. And then she'll do it freely, not as...
Yeah, exactly. So Invisalign is a lot more comfortable. They might feel less self-conscious as well, because you can't really see that there's anything on the teeth.
It's clear.
So it's clear, and there are small little fillings on the outer surfaces of the teeth, but it's not like when you had metal braces and you can really see all the brackets and the wire and things like that. Yeah, but Invisalign does need to be worn consistently for up to like 20 hours a day. Mm. So it is also quite important for the child to understand why they're doing it and, remember to wear them. Which comes to another point, which is that, I think one way to try and make it a fun process for the kids is to get them involved in the nitty-gritty of it. Like, for example, choosing or decorating the Invisalign case, the case that they need to bring with right. them every day to school, you know, making sure that they choose a toothbrush that they like to bring to school with them as well, so that after their snack time, their recess.
Like a reward.
Yeah. Something like that. So they feel self-motivated and it's fun, you know, it's not a chore.
Yeah, it's not a chore. That's the word.
Yeah.
Okay. So going on, this one is kids and adult. Electric toothbrushes are only for lazy people. This one is kind of spicy, so what's the truth? Wait, are you owning
electric brush?
Toothbrush or?
Yeah, I own an electric brush. Yes. My personal take is that both are great options. It's really what you're comfortable with. Some people might recommend one over the other. Electric toothbrushes have been proven from the research that they tend to work really well for a lot of people, actually maybe better than manual. But I think it comes down really, really to personal comfort and preference and technique. Because the goal is to make sure that you can reach all the areas in your mouth, all the corners, including the ones far back, and also do that properly, consistently for about 2 minutes or so, 2 to 3 minutes of your brushing time. Personally, I have found that some kids don't like electric brushes because they feel that it's
exactly. I've tried with my niece.
Oh.
Yeah, so like we've wasted because she's not ready for it.
Right. On the other hand, I just saw two kids, like the same family, who came back in to see me for review, and they just switched from manual to electric. And how it happened was, I told them previous time for the parents to, oh yeah, if you want to, you can show them your electric brush, see whether they like it. And kids sometimes are they're quite funny in how they think, you know. I think they saw that their parents were using it and they just wanted to be like them. And when I saw them again, they were both using electric brushes. I think the younger kid was only about, he's only about 3.5 right now. And
wow.
He really likes it. Yeah.
That's a rare for a kid to like this. Like this age group.
He thinks it's like a robot brush.
Right. Oh, it's a boy.
It's a boy. Yeah. He's a boy. The other advantage of electric brushes though is that a lot of, nowadays they come with more and more functions. And there are a few companies that produce electric brushes especially for kids. So including, I think, Philips and Oral-B.
Mm.
And nowadays, also a lot of electric brushes come with a way to link up to your smartphone. Yeah, so it's actually quite a cool way of using technology to improve brushing, because it actually tracks the duration that you're brushing for, and it can even track whether or not how your technique is. Are you getting to everything? Are you using too much pressure, too little pressure, that kind of thing? And I think nowadays kids are getting more tech savvy. So for some kids, that might actually be a great option for them to find toothbrushing fun. You know, if they start to feel like, hey, it's like a challenge or a little game that I'm playing and I want to do well and I can see that I'm doing well or not, they might like it. Yeah.
Okay. Good point. But yeah. I like the one that you can connect to yours.
Yeah. I do like the Curaprox brushes we have in our clinic. They don't make an electric one for kids, but the kid-sized manual toothbrushes are super cute.
It's super cute.
Super nice colors.
But I think, as far as I know, like, you can try the sensitive one. Because it comes, the electric brush.
Oh, it comes with...
It comes with a sensitive one. Then you can try with your kids.
Right.
Yeah, then you just do the very low...
Yeah, that's a good tip. Yeah.
Before you buy, because electric toothbrush can be quite pricey.
Yeah, that's actually a good tip. Yeah, just get a different size head for your kid, and they can try it out first. Yeah.
How so far are you enjoying, Doctor? This.
Yeah, I am. It's nice. I like talking to you. It's always.
Okay, moving on. We're on to the 10th question. No worries. So, why do some kids have bad breath that smells weird even if they brush?
Okay, so I find that a lot of times bad breath comes from maybe like food stuck in between the kids' teeth. So that's why flossing is very important as well, because things might look clean on the surface.
Oh, so even kids has to floss. Some kids has, you know, like spaces on their teeth.
Yeah, so some kids have spaces, some don't. Some have bigger spaces, some have real tiny spaces. Yes. Yeah, so that actually is something that is more unique to kids. For adults, generally all of us, our teeth are touching quite tightly, but for kids it differs, and you have to get to know your kid and take a look in their mouth and see what's going on. Or the dentist will tell you, you know. Yeah, so different kids are different. Some kids are quite prone to having food stuck in between their back teeth in particular, and for them they would really benefit from flossing, actually. Yeah. But parents can try using things like floss picks first, because it's quite hard to fit a regular floss into their mouth. And floss picks, they're also ones that they make specially for kids that come with fun colors, like animal designs, things like that, that can make a kid feel like it's fun. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I have one more question here. Are you on TikTok, Doctor?
I am not. Do I use TikTok?
Yeah, like, are you watching TikTok?
I do watch TikToks, yes, once in a while.
Okay, if yes, have you at least saw this trend? So basically, it's a trend, and this is what they ask on the video. If brushing is so important, why do people on TikTok use mints instead? So it's a trend wherein they skip brushing with some mints or alternative for any alternative except brushing. So it's really? The trend, yeah.
Why do these people not like brushing?
I know, so it's a trend. That's why I'm asking.
Okay. So yeah, mints definitely cannot replace brushing. Yeah, the most important part of brushing actually is the mechanical, meaning like the actual, like physical removal of the bacterial plaque from our mouth, because that's the stuff that causes all the problems, like including bad breath and then decay, gum inflammation, all of that. So we actually need to make sure we get a brush in there to get the surfaces scrubbed clean. Yeah. So a mint probably might make you feel good about yourself for a bit, might make your breath feel like it's fresher, but it doesn't actually remove any bacteria or have any protective properties against decay. Because as you know as well, like when we are brushing, we're using toothpaste that contains like some kind of remineralizing agent. Usually that's fluoride, yeah.
Okay.
Mints don't contain fluoride. I think. I hope.
So I think don't watch too much TikTok.
I feel like TikTok is, I have also seen some trends on TikTok where they use different things to whiten your teeth and all of that. So sometimes when I see these things, I do think that possibly, you know, they may or may not work, but you should always probably consult a professional.
Yeah. Before you go to the dentist.
Yeah, like confirm what is going on.
Especially for kids, like nowadays, they're just on all the technology, like social media, especially on TikTok. Like my niece would be asking me about stuff. Then I was like, where do you get that? Then she's like, oh, I saw it on TikTok. Then I was like, oh.
But, you know, I think that TikTok can also be used for good.
Yes.
If someone starts a toothbrushing trend on TikTok, that would be cool. Yeah,
a real toothbrushing trend.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think we go for the more informative ones rather than the myths, right?
Yeah. It's hard to control what you see.
Yeah, there. Especially on the technology nowadays, just everywhere.
Yeah. Kids are so good at technology now. This is totally unrelated, but I think last week I had a boy come in and he was a bit nervous at the start of his appointment, but he was quite happy by the, like through the middle of it. And then I set him up after we did the cleaning and he was taking a rinse and I was talking to his dad. And then at some point, he tried to get off his chair. And he was shifting his, he scooched his butt forward. He's scooching. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm trying to touch the TV screen because I want to skip this video because I was showing him a YouTube video. And he thought the TV screen was touch screen, you know.
Oh.
Because they're so used to touch screens. And I just found that so funny. I was like, oh, no. It's okay. I will have to change it.
Oh, they thought it was a touch
screen. But yeah, he thought it was a touch screen. So yeah.
Wow. And how old is he again?
He was 9.
9. Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool.
But yeah. It is important to keep up with the trends so you know what the kids are doing and seeing.
Here and there, at least you know what is happening around you.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be so oldies. Yeah. Okay, and then that's a wrap for today's episode of The Bite Angle. Huge thanks to Dr. Erin for answering all these questions and helping us get a little bit smarter.
Thanks, Erin.
It was good to have you, doctor.
And hope you had fun too.
If your kid has a curious dental question or you've seen a wild trend online that needs decoding, send it our way. We'll break it down. No sugar coating, just tooth, nothing but the tooth.
Nothing.
Okay,
but
the tooth. So see you guys next time. Bye.
Thank you.